Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia.
Bet you didn't think this would be the year you achieved the dream of flight. iFly Indoor Skydiving lets you experience the freedom and thrill of flying. No experience or wings required. iFly is fun for people of all ages and abilities, and it's the perfect choice for a night out with friends, family birthday parties, corporate events, or even just celebrating a Thursday. You'll never forget your first time flying. Go to iFlyWorld.com and use code TAKEFLIGHT for 20% off. That's iFlyWorld.com, code TAKEFLIGHT.
Welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice, the sports game show to test your knowledge of the upcoming game while defending your belief in your team's ability to win. Our job is to prove you wrong and explain why we think the Commanders will prevail. My name is Ken Harvey. I'm one of the judges, four-time Pro Bowler, and in the Washington Ring of Fame. Judge Marnie Snyder, the daughter of the first female GM of a team in the NFL, Susan Spencer, and the granddaughter of former Eagles owner Leonard Tose. Judge John Booty, NFL legend, defensive back playing for the New York Jets, the Eagles, Cardinals, Giants, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're your judges, and welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice.
Hey, welcome to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice, which Commander's Justice is, I guess, we weren't there, so there is no justice, but it was a great, 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 great Super Bowl. Before we get started, and as I often forget, let us thank our sponsors. Let's thank Alice Estelle, Alice Estelle Real Estate. If you have any real estate needs, whether it be buy, sell, or refurbish in the DMV market area, he is your guy, a good, honest guy who's going to do the very best for you. And then also PMSI Pest Control. They do pest control for the Ravens and the Commanders at the stadium. They do a bunch of restaurants and homes as well. So if the NFL teams trust them, then you should too. And they're excellent in what they do. So with that being said and done, let's talk about the game. I mean, it was a great game. Right. It was probably everything that everybody dreamed of. It went into overtime, the new overtime rules. There was, opportunities to win the game. And then there was a feeling of, well, you're not taking advantage of it. So you kind of thought Kansas City was going to come back and win it. You guys' take, judges.
Sometimes almost takes 75 minutes to play a football game, huh?
Yeah.
And that's the way it's supposed to be. You know, you had the two best teams that earned their way to the Super Bowl. And unfortunately for the San Francisco 49ers, one of their star players got hurt coming on the field, you know.
Yeah.
And that took a little momentum from them, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I was saying the whole week prior, you cannot leave the ball in Mahomes' hands at the very end of the game. You got to finish it. You got to put it away.
You did do a good job of predicting the game. You said you can't leave it in Mahomes' hands. And you also talked about special teams.
Yeah.
And that could be the big factor in the game. Marnie, what did you think of the game?
Well, so it's interesting because I thought the game was great, and it was a deep, and you guys were both, you know, defensive players, but I think that the feedback was it was a little slow. That, you know, it was the only time in 58 Super Bowls that there were no points scored in the first quarter. So it was like a very defense heavy game. And like, I love the defense heavy games, but a lot of people might say, oh, there's not enough action or whatever, but it was great. And you know what? Special teams, and we talked about this while we were at Media Row. And again, Pat Mahomes, like you said, John, you know, whoever's going to have the ball last is really going to win the game. That's it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, if you give the ball to Pat Mahomes, he will find a way to score. It doesn't matter. He will figure it out.
Well, let me ask you guys this. So what I saw was a team who, with the 49ers, who came out balling, ready to play, confidence. We're gonna kick some butt. They had a good game plan. They used some trick plays here and there, but they were running the ball and they were fired up. And then they went into halftime, and it seemed that they came out at halftime trying to protect what they had as opposed to keeping the same game plan that they started off with. And then you got the Chiefs, who on the backside of it is like, we don't care where we're at halftime. That's when we start shining and we're confident in our quarterback and our team that we're going to win the game. I don't know. I saw that to me, but I could be wrong. What did you guys see?
Well, don't forget, in the first quarter, McCaffrey fumbled.
Yeah.
Took the momentum away.
Yeah.
And then in the second half on a punt, special teams, they fumbled, you know? Yeah. When the ball hit the 49ers leg and the Chiefs covered. So defensively, the 49ers were playing some good football. You know, it was boring in the end, in the very beginning, because it was 0-0 in the first quarter. And that's why they were just like boxers, feeling each other out. And then that momentum thing happened again. You know, you let Patrick Mahomes figure you out, and they ran the same play. Funny. It's kind of crazy, the what they call it, the corn dog. The same play they beat the Philadelphia Eagles with, mm-hmm. on that yeah. same route, pretty much. Yeah. And you got to credit the Kansas City Chiefs, because Spagnuolo called a great game, because he rushed, blitzed, and had Purdy throwing that ball away. He had some guys open. He couldn't throw it. He couldn't see them. Yeah. Because that blitz, you don't pick up a defensive back, or you don't pick up that D lineman, somebody's going to get to Purdy. And guess what? They did. It's not about the sack. Make him throw the ball away. They had a clear open touchdown, and he just threw the ball away. Credit Spagnuolo for calling an aggressive defensive game.
100%. Sometimes you think it's just the players on the field, but when it comes down to, you know, the top of the top, when you start getting towards the Super Bowl, a lot of times it is coaching and the way the coaches make the calls to put you in the best position to win.
Mm-hmm. X's and O's, adjustments,
yeah.
On the field, you know, on the sideline, adjustments, you know.
Morning, what did you think after halftime, or just like John said, on the field, okay, adjustments?
Well, a couple things. Let's talk for a second about Travis. Well, we're going to get to Taylor and Travis, of course, because I'm a chick and I want to talk about that. But before that,
talk about that.
but what about Travis and Andy Reid?
I was going to throw that up there.
Okay. So I did not ever play professional football. You guys did. What was that all about? Like, what does that mean? Like, just let's talk about it.
It's a great question. One, if you weren't a superstar and that happened, you may be out of a job next year.
Right.
If they had not won and it happened and you weren't a superstar, you may be out of a job next year. But the bottom line, I think, is, you know, he's a competitor, and coaches and people want to see competitors on the team. He was fired up because he wasn't in a play where he had a chance to either help or I think score or something, but he wasn't in on the field. And so he was fired up, and he came to his coach and he was in his coach's face. Now, most coaches most coaches, knowing the player, become understanding because they know he's a competitor. And prior to coming to the Super Bowl, the playoff games, he was a big, big factor in them winning and getting to the Super Bowl. So that's what I saw. John, what about you?
You know, the deal is, I have seen coaches and players, assistant coaches and players, go at each other on the sideline. Yeah. I have seen coaches, Buddy Ryan.
We've done it.
And I have kind of gone at my defense coordinator a little bit on the side, you know, but that's over the top there. You know, you don't do that on the biggest stage, and you embarrass yourself, you embarrass the coach, and you make yourself look stupid. But again, he's a competitor, and he wants to be in the game. Never know, that still could have happened if he was in the game. But his competitive spirit was like, hey, I want to be in this game, and I want to make plays. I want to help my team win, which is we love. And they loved each other afterwards, you know. They hugged it out. You know, they know it's competitive game. And when they did do that corn dog pass for the touchdown to win the game with what, seven seconds left, Travis Kelce was a decoy. And he just looked at the monitor and threw his hands up in the air when the guy caught the touchdown. You know, he knew he was a decoy on that play. So it's all about you knowing your role. But his role on the sideline at the time, he thought he should have been on the field, but then he got a little bit excited, and not a little bit excited. He got too excited and bumped into the coach. Head coach.
It was crazy. I mean, had it been
bumping and yelling going on,
a different player.
Now remember, a player. One, he just before he threw his helmet down, and the assistant manager, one of the managers on the sideline, was getting back in the day, back during preseason, or I think during the regular season. Travis Kelce was trying to get his helmet back so he can go back in the game. And coach said, no, nah. Took his helmet from him. Nope, don't give it to him. He said, nah, this game. I mean, it's the series.
And that's the sign of good coaching, right? When you can take a player who is a star and you can set him down and say, look, you know, regardless of how big you get, it's about the team. It's still part of the team. Now, let me ask you a question, Marty. Seeing that, do you think Taylor was up there, up in the booth, was like, well, dang, what have I gotten myself into? He's
he's a feisty fella.
Yeah, he's a little feisty.
If you don't get his way, he's a powder. Oh, she's gonna write a song about it.
Well, or is it a new song she's gonna write?
It was definitely. It seemed a little theatrical to me. Like he's showing, you know, Taylor. There's like, that's what it seemed like. Like he is, you know, and I think that what he was mad about was Pacheco fumbled. Right. And that's what I think that was what created, because they were about to score and all that other stuff.
Marty, let me start you real quick. You said somebody, what supposedly she was thinking about what Taylor was thinking. Did you say it or no?
It was a lot of theatrics.
Okay, but after you said like something about Taylor, you was like, I don't think he was thinking about Taylor today.
Yeah, I gotta agree with John on that. Taylor was the furthest thing from his mind.
I don't know if you were saying it just to be having fun or whatnot.
I do think though that he's an actor too. In addition to being an amazing football player, an incredible talent, he is an actor. He's got his radio show and he does a lot of acting with that, and he's hosted Saturday Night Live and he had his own Catching Kelce. So he definitely he's an actor.
He likes attention. Yeah,
he does. And I felt like that was a little bit of like that me, like I'm on, he knows he's mic'd up. He knows everybody's looking at him, but I thought it was a little bit, I get it. He was, you know, he's an incredible asset to the team. I do think that it was a little, like just a tiny bit of unprofessional. Like you said, look, I mean, I think that like Coach Belichick, when I think about the Super Bowl that the Eagles beat the Patriots, he benched Malcolm Butler because that was a game changer for the Patriots for sure. And because he had to show that he was really in charge of the team. Now, obviously, you're not going to bench Travis Kelce and whatever else, and it's all
he set it for a series. He did. I think he will. I mean, not next year, but I'm just saying this is all said and done. But I guess the first time, cut you off, but the first time he did it, he said, no, don't give him his helmet back. He's not going to the game.
Right.
And I think that, like, as a parent with, you know, now my kids don't play high school football anymore. They've aged out now. But, you know, that's like, you don't want young kids to mimic that behavior. So you have to have it with like, have a conversation because they're all watching it. They all want to be like Travis Kelce, with the caveat of when you behave like that, you will get benched, period.
Well, so even if you made a set of, I know back when I played a kid, you probably heard this too. If we said a bad word during the game,
if he even looked funny at the coach, like even if it wasn't on purpose, you were going to be sitting there on the bench.
So here's the deal. It's like, you know, when we played and reporters had pretty much a lot of sway, right? So a reporter could say, oh, that's just a guy being fired up. He really wants this game. You know, just commentate it. It all depends on how you frame the picture, right? Oh, he really wants this game. That's a competitor. He went a little bit overboard, but that's when you want it. That's when you really, really want it. Or if they don't like you, that is disrespectful. You never talk to the coach. True. You don't go that way. You know, there has to be some law and order, you know, and that have the whole thing. So it's all about perspective and the way they saw it. I think, like I said, because they won the game, they water under the bridge. No, it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah. I don't think players, you know, no player's going to do it intentionally. You do get fired up, and sometimes you get caught up in the moment, and you don't realize what you're doing.
Go to one of your coaches and talk like that?
I've wanted to choke him. I've come close to.
Don't touch me. Match with my coach on the sideline. I mean, not a long out thing. And I didn't get it right in front of. It was Bud Carson. I didn't get it right in his face. And we was at a distance. We use some choice language words.
Right, and we did it in practice. I mean, things tempers will flare. Competitors that are competitors all around. You're going to have that. What John said and as mentioned before, is what do you do afterwards? You know, can you shake and be friends afterwards? Can you respect each other afterwards? You know, this was a slight on whoever's side, but can you come together afterwards and say, look, I apologize for what I did, and the other person say, you know what, I forgive you. It's that's kind of the way. Yeah, I hate to say like America works, but that's the way it's supposed to be.
Well, that's just having good manners and saying like, I got a little ahead of myself and I'm sorry.
Yeah, and that's the way it needs to be. Hey, let's apologize for going a little bit over 10 minutes, and let's take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll keep talking about the game. I want to find out what you guys did during that time period of during the Super Bowl week and some of the events and people and things that you met. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
Mind your business, kid. Just mind your business.
Hey, welcome back to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice. Great Super Bowl. It was exciting. I mean, you know, like Marty mentioned, in the beginning, it was a defensive game. And people want to see the passes. They want to see the big scores and all that stuff. But us as defensive players, we respected the great defensive moves and things that they did in the game. But this was Super Bowl week. And, you know, the game is a build-up to that game, which was a good game. But there was so much stuff going on around during that week. So let's hear about what, you know, some of the things you guys have did during that week. And I'll tell you some what I did and why I didn't show up to some places, John. I'll tell you that.
Why I didn't show up to some places.
So what did you guys do during the week? That
ladies first.
Judge Marnie.
Well, I got to Las Vegas on Thursday, and in between walking, I think like 11 or 12,000 steps, I was on Media Row, and we had the best show I think we've ever had, because we had two of the best guests that we've really? Ever had on. Yeah. Wow. I mean, amazing. It was really so special. So my show that I do with Scott Murray, with the legendary Dallas-Fort Worth sports reporter, Scott Murray, and Marjorie Lewis, who's an incredible talent herself. I get to tag along with the two of them, and we had this great show. Our guests, amazing. And I want to brag about that show and to brag about our guests. And it was really fun, because I think you guys are going to know exactly who I'm talking about. It was Ken and John joined us for about an hour and a half talking sports and legacy and Super Bowls and gambling and Vegas and everything else. So that was really the highlight of certainly of Thursday, definitely. But I think of my time there in addition to the Ronald McDonald House. But we had a great show on Thursday. I think that the media people that run the radio show said it was like one of the top five podcasts or radio shows of the week. So I will find out all those good metrics and get them to you guys. But it was lots of fun having you two on in person and being able just to talk about football and special teams and all sorts of good stuff. So that was great. So thank you.
It was good that we hadn't seen each other. I mean, we did our podcast, but it's all virtual. And so we hadn't seen each other in person in a long time. It was great. I speak for myself, but I'm assuming John as well. We had a really good time doing it, and it's pretty special being able to go to Media Row, seeing some of the people there, And then people walking by you like, well, who are they? Why are they getting interviewed? It's always kind of cool to throw people off for a little bit. John, what did you do during that?
I'm sorry for getting that late. The traffic was, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Traffic was bad.
Yeah.
Mandalay Bay is a huge place. And so I'm like, wow, this.
And the gate was broken at one of the places.
Yeah. I didn't see that, but I got there late. But when I got in town on Thursday, I had to go to the NFL Players Association. I had the mind, body, and assessment, like a $15,000 medical assessment of your heart, you know, your blood work and body weight composition, all that jazz, which was good. I saw Jim McMahon and Eric Dickerson there getting their assessments done, you know, looking after each other, they're looking after us, and got to take advantage of that. And then just going to the NFL Legends Lounge where all the players are there and trust, and, you know, weren't able to make it out to the Ronald McDonald House on Friday, which was sad to not be able to make it. But it was a good thing. I got an invite to the Dallas Cowboys reception at the Resorts World on the 66th floor, which is really, really nice view of the city, outskirts of the downtown. And then just Steinberg's party, and then the Super Bowl viewing party on Sunday was really, really, really nice. And I missed you Saturday morning. I had the Paramount and Fox brunch, and that was nice. So it took me a couple of days to recover. I'm still recovering. I just got back from the Super Bowl trip because I stopped in Palm Beach. No, not Palm Beach, but Palm Springs on the way back. And just a long, long, long weekend, but good fun. And didn't get a chance to play golf or anything like that.
Right.
And didn't get a chance to play pickleball or anything, man. You know, just football. Seeing you guys was fun. And seeing all the players from the guys we played against and the new guys, it's great to see that.
For me, I got a chance to. I had a dinner. Franco Harris dinner.
Yeah, I missed that too.
And so he had a lot of Pittsburgh Steelers players there. But I was sitting at a table, and I'm sitting right next to Mean Joe Green, and it was kind of cool because, you know, these guys at me as a young guy, you just look up and say, oh, that's him. And he was a really cool guy. His wife was actually, you know, it's funny like how the big guys, and you think they're like the meanest, toughest players, and the wives could put them in check in a minute. Boy, it's kind of funny. But that was a great dinner, great event. As normal, John and I get invited pretty much every year, so it's a really good event. Got a chance to hang out with Tim McDonald, who we had on the show, and his wife, and that was really, really cool. There were some events that I couldn't make. I had a friend who is dealing with some health issues that I wanted to be there with him a little bit. So I had, you know, missed some of the events, but it was good. And then I went to the Commanders had their party, their normal party. And so it was a good time. It's, you know, I mean, I kind of, if you're not going to go to the game, try to enjoy yourself and do what you're going to do. I got a chance to meet one of the limited, I guess, owners, because there's a lot of owners of the team. Mm-hmm. And it was the coolest thing was his wife was like, you know, I didn't want to come here, but meeting you made this thing, the whole thing, worthwhile. And that was kind of cool. And she didn't have to say that, right? And so that was a good time. And I got to see, actually, I got to hang out with Cruz again, Terry Crews and his wife. So that was fun. So anyhow, it was a great event. Like John said, and I think Marnie, you probably witnessed, the biggest problem, because Vegas did a phenomenal job. It was beautiful. Some of these hotels are massive and gorgeous. I mean, but the traffic, boy, it gets locked up. And I was mentioning one of the gates didn't go up and down. And so we were about 30 minutes to move about 100 feet. It was just crazy. But it was Vegas did a great job. I mean,
they'll get it again real soon.
Yeah. I mean, because it you know, I mean, obviously at one time they wanted us to stay away from gambling. Yeah. And but now that it's a huge part of the NFL.
Well, you know, since you said that, can I say something? I was watching a pregame show before the Super Bowl, and they were talking about Al Davis. You know, just win, baby. How he got John Madden to become his coach and all this stuff. And Al Davis, he was a maverick, man. He would fight the NFL in a heartbeat. You know, he would sue him in a heartbeat. He said, "We're gonna do something. We're gonna move from stadium. We're gonna move from Oakland to Los Angeles." You know, and we're like, "Okay, we're gonna do just that." And what had to go in a lawsuit, you know, to move. And Al Davis said something, and this and the storyline behind that's the story was how Las Vegas got the Super Bowl, because Al Davis said, "That's where I want to go." Because before he went to from Oakland to LA, he said, "We can't talk about betting, but that's where I want my team to go, to Las Vegas."
So he's a visionary. He saw it way ahead of time.
I would like to add on to that story. I'm going to show a photograph, which I actually need to get framed. All right. So can you guys see everybody in this photograph?
Move it back just a little bit.
Yeah. Pull it back a little. There you go.
There you go.
Is that Don Rickles?
So Leonard Toews, Al Davis, Bob Newhart, Ed Sable, and Don Rickles. Okay.
Wow.
It's late 70s in Las Vegas. So my grandfather and Al Davis were very close friends up until like 1981 when the Super Bowl thing happened in New Orleans. And the gambling thing and getting moving teams and having gambling in the NFL was something that two visionaries, Al Davis and my grandfather, although my grandfather was he was very open about his gambling, and Al Davis might not have been. So my grandfather got in a lot of trouble because of his gambling. Al Davis did not. But yes, they both were like, if we're ever going to do anything, if we're ever really going to make this thing really global, it's going to have to go to Vegas. And ultimately,
that's what they talked about. They said, listen, at one point, Ken and I, we mentioned it in the past. I think we mentioned on you at the Radio Row. Hey, we were afraid. We were told, do not talk to anybody who are talking about gambling when we leave. And to see the NFL in Las Vegas now, and how Las Vegas did what they did for the NFL, the Super Bowl, it'll be back. And $23.1 billion or more. Unbelievable.
And it'll be bigger and better just because, fortunately, unfortunately, gambling is a huge part of it now with all the streaming channels, all the ways people were betting if Taylor Swift would make it on time, if she would, she would run on the stage, how quickly will they show her, which they did pretty quick, all these things. So it was a combination of everything. Yeah. And it's amazing with the NFL. Yeah.
Just seeing a skyline. Go ahead.
Well, I read something very interesting today that Arthur Blank had said about gambling and how he's hopeful that the NFL is responsible in their messaging so that people don't become addicted to gambling. And that was one of the concerns always. My grandfather was a compulsive gambler, gambled away a lot, everything. But so Arthur Blank, who's a very kind and very certainly successful businessman who owns the Atlanta Falcons and Home Depot. But, that's the concern. The concern is to make sure that no matter what, that people don't get into real deep trouble and, finding responsible ways to message that gambling is a slippery slope.
Well, let's gamble that we're going to be back after this break and that took me a whole season, but I've gotten better with my sneaky ways in there. So let's
as morning.
let's gamble that we're going to be back, and we will continue this conversation in 2 and 2. Hey, welcome back to You're Gonna Know, Commander's Justice. We are sponsored by Alistair Steele, Alistair Steele Real Estate. If you have any real estate needs.
In the DMV.
Thank you, John. Just John. In the DMV area, whether to buy, sell, or to refurbish, he is your guy. And you can find him online. What is it, John? Alex at AlistairSteeleRealEstate.com. And then PMSI, Pest Control. As we said and mentioned it all the time, if the stadiums trust them to do, and this is the Ravens and the Commanders, if they trust them to do the pest control, as well as a lot of businesses and hotels and restaurants and all that, then you can trust them in your house as well. So they are a good company to use, and we appreciate them sponsoring us. All right, so we've talked about the Super Bowl game. We've talked about our events and things that we did at the Super Bowl. Now, the big thing is the Commanders. It seems that, you know, they've made a lot of moves, coaches and head coach and all that stuff. Any thoughts, judges?
Well, it looks like they got some good, solid coaches. You know, you got your linebackers coach, Ken Norton Jr.
I know, yeah. Right? Can I tell a quick story about him real quick?
Go ahead. Yes.
So in the combine, you know, this is way before it became TV and all that stuff. And they never really told us what to do. So I had on these beat up old tennis shoes and you don't know. But those beat up old tennis shoes could affect your 40 time. And that thing could be, you know, numbers and dollars just because of that. And so right before it, when we were getting ready to do the 40, Ken Norton, I think, had some track shoes. And so he let us all borrow them to run our 40 in, and it helped improve my time. He was a good guy, you know, just in the brief time that I met him. He didn't know me from Adam, but we knew that, you know, linebackers, we were all trying to win.
Everybody's trying to get there. You know, that's a team. That's where the teamwork starts, right there. Even at the combine, when you compete and all that stuff like that. So now when you see him, he goes, hey, man, thanks for those track shoes.
Oh, I will.
Wait a minute. You're going to say, Ken, you were a first-round pick, and I was a second-round pick. Man, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah. I'll be like, hey, man.
But he ended up getting three or four Super Bowl rings, I think. Got three Super Bowl rings, two with Dallas and one with the 49ers.
Oh, they say game respects game. That's going to be my line. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, game respect game. So, Commanders. I mean, like you said, John, they've made some good picks. I think it, you know, more than anything, it had to start from the top down, right? You had the organization, and they said, "We know that we're not the experts in this, so we're going to find experts in the field to get it." So then you go out and you hire GM, which is a great GM. He knows people, and then you go and you get a head coach, and it's not working with the old regime where there's so many mistakes and fear and all that stuff. You got a whole new slate. Marnie, what do you think of the Commanders and their picks of the coaches? Because that's also going to help in recruiting players and getting players to come here.
Oh, I'm a big Dan Quinn fan. I thought, you know, he was great in Seattle. He was certainly great in Atlanta. I mean, that they imploded on the biggest stage, but he's a great coach and he's done great things with the Dallas Cowboys. And so certainly for the NFC East, obviously the NFC East is always fun for us to watch because we love all the teams there, especially the Commanders. So it's going to be great. It was a really good pick. I don't think anybody was really surprised that's, you know, who they ended up getting. And I think that it'll be good. He knows a lot about, obviously, the competition. And so that's kind of a great jumping off point to begin with. So I think Dan Quinn is a really solid guy, and he's going to do a lot of great things for the Commanders.
You know, I like Anthony Lynn. he used to be a head coach.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And he's the run game coordinator. So, you know, you got all these different coordinators. You're just not a running backs coach. You're a run game coordinator. And I like what they did with the pass rush specialist. Yeah. Kerrigan, you know, Ryan Kerrigan, he's a fan.
He knows the game. Yeah,
he knows how to get to the quarterback. So, you know, you keep some familiar faces around, like Bobby Engram and this other guy, Pratchard, or is it Pachard? Pachard? I think it's us. That's his name, last name. Forgive me if I mispronounced it. But keep some familiar faces around and bringing your new guys and starting fresh. Combine is what, 2 weeks from now?
So here's my idea, and I'm gonna start pitching it around every time I get a chance to, you know, talk or be on the show. But from what I see, a lot of times the team represents the city or the city represents the team, right? And so you got Baltimore, you got the hardworking, you know, we're gonna gut it through. Same thing with Green Bay. We may not be huge, but you know, we believe in each other, and you have teams like that, right? So now you had the Commanders, and in our reality, we did kind of represent what we saw in D.C., right? You see politics, you know, everybody's on each side, no one's working together, dysfunctional, the whole thing, and that was kind of the team. So I'm thinking, why don't we start this trend now where we say, you know what, instead of being the followers and the fans being followers, why don't we set the trend? Why don't we start as fans saying we're going to start from now on, we're going to start being the best that we can be for this year because we want the team to represent us as opposed to, you know, all the other junk. And every fan, everybody that's watching, everybody that wants the team to win, we make a commitment to say we're going to do things in excellence for this year because we want to win not only on the football field, but we want to be the trendsetters. We want to start things moving. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that sounds good, Ken, but I, you know, got to go back to it because you had it when you were when the Commanders were the former Commanders were the former Washington Redskins. They were winning. The fans were there. You know, they had the stadium rocking at RFK. And then you had this 20-some year lull because of the previous owner. People just start backing away from it. Now, again, it's all about hand in hand. You put a great product on the field, the fans are going to come back. Right. And I know you're saying fans should start first. Let's just show up and represent our team right now, even at the lowest moment, even at the, let's say, the beginning stage, because it's a whole new situation for the Washington Commanders.
Yeah,
and I understand what you're saying.
And it's not even that. It's like, okay, you know, if I can do it and it works, is, you know, everybody signs a petition or something saying, look, I commit to...
Sign a petition?
Yeah, or I commit to this year, I'm going to be excellent. I'm going to win. You know, I'm going to win in my work. I'm going to win in my... I want the team to... I want to be the representation of what I am, but also the product on the field. And sometimes you have to be a leader, you know, and if the team, if it's just about the team, then we're just following along with the team and that's cool. But what made this team so valuable that you could sell it for $6 billion is because the fans were so great and the potential is there. And so let's lead the pack instead of always being the follow the packs, which I think we've been for the last 20 years. Let's start leading the pack.
Hey, that sounds like a wolf. Lead the pack. Lead Jack. The pack.
the Washington Barney? Commander wolf.
I think that is, you know, of course, yes. Starting, getting, you know, out of the starting gate, you want to definitely try to figure out how you can start bringing the fans back. This certainly having Dan Quinn and new coaches and, you know, getting some exciting new draft picks will definitely help. And then again, like John said, and like we always talk about it, it's like, you got to put something on the field. I mean, the fans are going to show up if there's even like they're hungry for something. So even just a little nugget of something will give them some hope. They had it earlier this season. It dissipated quickly, but now new coach, new owners, like let's see how they can quickly turn things around and be the leader in the NFC East. It's going to be difficult because there's a lot of competition in the NFC East between Philadelphia and Dallas and obviously New York. But it's higher, you know, Dan Quinn knows those teams very well.
Marty, you agree. You mentioned something. You probably don't remember mentioning it. I know you do. You mentioned quarterback, right? You said something about quarterback. Now, and I like what Doug Williams said at his press conference. I heard, and they would ask him about the quarterback, which he traded up to get Caleb Williams. He said, "We're sitting good. We're sitting pretty where we are. You know, we got the second pick in the draft, first round, and I think they got what four in the first 100 picks. So." You can't shy away from these two quarterbacks. One guy who won a Heisman Trophy last year out of LSU, Jaden Daniels, right? And a kid, Drake May, out of North Carolina. So you got a quarterback guru who gets the best out of his quarterbacks and Cliff Kingsbury. So the Commanders, they don't have to sell the house to get Caleb Williams. And we all know that you can do just that to get somebody to come to your local, who's a local kid, come play for you. It doesn't always pan out. If you look at the quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers who played at Pittsburgh, he's not panning out well for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Case in point, so sad he's no longer with us. The young man from Ohio State who was a first round pick by the Washington Commanders, rest his soul. You know, it didn't pan out for him. So we don't know if Caleb Williams will be the guy, but hey, you got two other guys who's just as good, who have the credentials, who have won the hardware of being the best quarterback in the national, or best quarterback and best athlete in college football and winning the Heisman Trophy in Daniels. So you're sitting pretty, you know. Commanders got the draft capital, they got the cap space. Yeah. So now they just got to get this. They got some general manager. Got a general manager. Had a new guy to come in and to help Peters out, and hey, they're making some noise. They have a chance to make some real good noise in the NFC East next year. I still believe in this, Ken. Before you come in, look at what the Houston Texans did with Ryan, right? And a young quarterback. They went to the playoffs, second round of the playoffs, first year. Why not? Why not us? Why not the Commanders?
100%. So I mean, I think it's everything you said is, you know, 100%. If you compare it to what I assume this is, you know, what would have been done last year was you try to get the first pick, you sell the house to get the first pick. It's about the show. It's about the brand. You know, you get the money in because people are excited about it, but then you don't have the team and the coaches to surround that person and make them very best. Because we've talked about this on several shows. You can be the best player, but you could be with the wrong team, and they destroy the good stuff that you've done. I think even with Sam Howell, he could have been probably a really good quarterback, but you know, getting hit 50 times is going to take his toll, 50, 60 times. So I agree with you. I think that this is you got everything you need to build up a massive team, a good team. You get a quarterback, you build up the offensive line, and attack the glaring problems that are right in front of you, as opposed to doing what's going to be a marketing show, but not building the foundation. And then, nothing.
And like Andre said before his interview before the game, he said, it all starts up front for us, both teams, the big guys up front.
Yeah.
You protect, we're going to make some things happen. Brock Purdy, he didn't get hit a whole lot, but he got harassed. Yeah. It starts up front, and that pass rush.
Yeah.
You can build a back end, get you some run stoppers, get you some sideline to sideline, get you some Ken Harveys out there on the side, you know, running after that quarterback, hitting Jim McMahon out of house, and the Gatorade go all over him, you know? Things like that. So
I was going to say, I appreciate you saying that, but I know what you're saying, Johnny boy. Anyhow.
Would you definitely want to get a quarterback as your second pick? I mean, is Sam Howell an agency?
So Sam Howell, unfortunately, it's like someone who's been victimized. Now you have to not only take the talent that they have, but you got to start with a regress, I guess that's the word, in the back. Then you got to try to build them just back to where they were, to try to build them to someplace else. Whereas if you get a new quarterback, it's a fresh start. It's a clean slate.
And you got a new coach.
What you have. You got a new coach, right? So I mean, I like I said, I did like Sam, but I just, unfortunately, it was the wrong team, wrong environment for him to excel. He may go somewhere else and do extremely well.
You know, he's still on the contract, right, Ken? So he's still right now, he is the incumbent of the Washington Commanders. So if he's on, he's going to be on the team next year. They're not going to trade him. I think he's still on the contract. So he'll be that teacher for that young quarterback that's going to come in. He and Brissett will be the, if he's still around, because they're going to need somebody to teach this young man during training camp. Then again, this the quarterback who comes in may just, hey, he's impressive. We're going to start him day snap one, even in training camp. He's going to be our guy.
Hey, didn't Sam go to UNC also? Don't they know? Would
yes,
they
have he did.
Overlapped at all? Or did they overlap?
He may have been a freshman when Sam was a senior. He could not overlap there. Because they wouldn't have an NIL back then.
And the thing is, we can't discredit that the Commanders have some talent. Like you said, you can have a quarterback, a young quarterback in, and he could be, you know, learning the ropes, but we got to – we're assuming that we never had a running game, and we had a decent running game with an okay offensive line. So now you can increase the offensive line. You increase the running game, and you give your young quarterback a chance to grow and to build into it. And so, you know, this becomes smart football as opposed to show football. And you build
and NFL is turning, what you just said, Ken, show football, it's turning into like 7-on-7 with offensive linemen blocking, you know?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to throw that thing, you know, they want to pass that rock, you know. And Marty, you said a couple weeks ago, you said 49ers are only one of the teams that use a fullback. And that fullback had a good couple of runs in that game against the Chiefs. But the Commanders got to find that guy.
Coming back to seeing that, you know, running games, you know, for a while, running backs were here, and then they kind of dumped, you know, a dime a dozen.
Yep, yep.
They're seeing that running games, the running game is just as important as a good passing game.
Especially in the cold, when it gets cold.
Yeah.
You got to ground and pound that thing, you know.
Well, you know. Anyhow, guys, this is Palmer Words.
With the running backs. It's old school football. Just run the ball.
So when it gets cold, you got to go up to the Northeast. You got to go to Wisconsin. You got to go to Chicago. You know, you fight them till hell freezes over. Then you fight them on ice and you run. You just run. And, you know, one thing, Ken, you about to say something, any final thoughts? One thing I do want to say at the Super Bowl, Marnie had a football purse that got all the attention.
Did you
see that purse you had, man?
I did. Can you show it? I think you saw. You had.
Do you still have it?
This is not the pink one, but you know what's funny? I sent Tommy Vincent one today because, the other day I sent one to her, and Janice is getting one also. But don't tell her, Ken. It's a surprise. I had to order them, and so all the people that I love.
You know what's going to happen?
What
you're going to send it, but I'm telling it's from me. So thank you.
Says a late happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, right. I'm getting.
No, make sure it's the pink one.
Ladies of football. I love the ladies of football. Alvina, Janice is a doll. Tommy is the best. So yeah, but my purse did get a lot of attention. This is the brown one. I have the pink one in my closet, but it's a nice souvenir. So yeah.
Awesome. Well, any real quick, any final words, guys?
Final words.
I mean, you know,
well, hey, are we transitioning from Commanders Justice to Football Justice?
Yes, we will.
For the offseason.
So, you know what? It's still kind of in debate. I'm thinking, I don't know. Let me, we'll talk about that some more. I was going Football Justice, but I still want this to be
a
Commander type of thing. So we may stay there.
I can direction. Dig it.
Can you dig it? Because you're a bad mother. Shut my mouth.
Yeah, you know, he's trying to get. Hey, you got me in trouble. I'm going to talk to you offline.
Okay. All right.
Well, my closing thoughts are, you know, I'm so thankful to be, you know, friends with you guys and co-hosts with you guys and watching all the amazing things that are happening both on and off the field. And so thank you. And it's just a pleasure to, you know, share a screen with you or, you know, any sort of charity event, whatever. So thank you.
You're very kind.
Marnie, before you, I think I have Scott Mary's information. I'm going to look it up. If I don't, I'm going to give you a text.
I'll text you.
I'm going to be speaking at the Bob Schieffer College of Communication on yes. April 10th at TCU. So yeah. I told him about it. And I want to see him, see if he can come by and support me.
Yes, definitely. Yes, Scott is a gem. I mean, I was walking through, I don't know if you guys had a chance to go to the NFL experience at, I mean, it was massive. It was crazy massive. It's
hey, Marnie, we've yeah. been through the NFL experience.
We oh lived it, Marnie.
Yeah. yeah. Okay, right. This is for like the non, you know, the non-professional. Oh,
okay, okay.
But
we lived it, Marnie.
you did live it. I yes. Right. You're right. But the NFL experience that they try to show people what it would be like if they could even kick a field goal, you know, 5 yards, 10 yards. But walking through the whole that whole venue with Scott Murray, people were like, oh, my God, it's Scott Murray. And then I was like, yeah, you know, taking pictures for them. And it was really cute.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
I know.
Well, hey, guys.
Hey, hey, can I- hey, I got a real good thought. I'm sorry, Ken. Why don't we? Commanders Justice, you're going to know, team up this offseason, a miniature. You team up with the National Football League, D.C. office, and say, we want to do an NFL experience, Commanders Justice, NFL, and we do something at a local high school here in Washington, D.C., and do the NFL experience. Yeah, we know something. We can talk to you about doing that.
We could talk about it. I mean, I think it would be a good little piece, and I think it would be fun. So let's talk about it. Hey, just real quick, I wanted to say thank you guys for being on the show because you know it is about a good team, and regardless of even Patrick Mahomes, regardless of how good he is, if he didn't have an O-line that could block for him, if he didn't have receivers to catch, you know, you're only as good as the people around you. You guys have been great where there's been deficits that I've had. You guys have always stepped up and been huge, getting guests, great questions all the time. So we're going to continue. You're going to know Commanders Justice, but it's going to be an off-season version where we'll still talking about more detail about the Commanders, the picks, the coaches, and different things like that. So great job, guys. Love you. That's it.
Thank you, Ken Harvey. Marnie, thank you.
Thank you, Paul. We're out.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $200 in bonus bets when they bet $5. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $200 in bonus bets and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. Terms and conditions apply.
Bring the dream of flight to life at iFly Indoor Skydiving. iFly gives you the rush of flying without the stomach drop feeling. It's a one-of-a-kind experience for any occasion, from birthdays and anniversaries to staycations or milestones. Expert instructors guide you to float on a cushion of air so you can embrace the freedom of flight and create lasting highlight reel memories. Get the thrill of flight without the height. Go to iFlyWorld.com and use code TAKEFLIGHT for 20% off. That's iFlyWorld.com, code TAKEFLIGHT.